I want to invite you, if you would, if you are comfortable closing your eyes, I want to read a scripture out of Isaiah 53, and I want to read the whole chapter. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you this morning that you have allowed your spirit on the inside of us to open up our heart and mind and understand the revelation, the truth of what took place on that great Friday. This morning, Father, I want to release a blessing over all the services and churches that are going on, not only in this community, but around the world as they focus on what happened on the cross of Calvary. Father, would you let your presence powerfully fill those places? And I thank you that because you are everywhere present at one time, you are as powerfully present here as every other place where your word is going forth. I thank you, Father, you have prepared our hearts and our minds. And this morning, Lord, we are asking that you would give us revelation we've never had before. You would allow us to see things and understand things. Father, you would take our dry places and you would make them wet. You would take our cold places and you would make them hot. Father, today, we're asking you to awaken inside of us again a revelation of who you are and what you have done. And by faith, we say thank you in advance. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me and possess me. I ask you to speak through me this morning. And I thank you again, you will be speaking in this place. Words that are not going to come out of my mouth, your children will hear them, they will be touched by them, and our lives will be changed. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Jane, if you could kill the lights. Duncan, if you could kill the stay lights as well. This morning I want to share with you what the Lord laid on my heart as we were coming into today. And all of us, I think most all of us have seen the Jesus movie. Most of us have seen The Passion by Mel Gibson. We're going to watch a couple of clips a little bit later on. Some of us have gone to watch The Chosen, the last number five, The Last Supper. And very powerful. We went the other night and just caught the last one, the eighth one. The last scene was when Judas came up and was kissing Jesus before the whole arrest, before the trial, before all that took place. We have been through, some of us have been through the Easter season 60, 70, 80 times. Some of us have been believers and walked with the Lord our entire life. For some of us, we are here for the first time because in this last year is when we came alive in Christ. And this is the first time we are going through the Lord's Supper with awakened mind and revelation. This morning I have asked the Holy Spirit, and I'm believing the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to see something and grasp something that is beyond. I'll tell you right now, there is not a person out there with a logical mind who is going to grasp today what I'm going to share with you. And I want to tell you straight up, what I'm going to do this morning is going to fall very short of what took place, but I believe the Holy Spirit is going to use it, and I'm excited what he gave me. We know that on the night that he was betrayed, he took his disciples and they had the Last Supper. If you see in the table, you're going to see the bread that we're going to use, the matzah bread. We're going to use that later for communion. You're going to see the bitter herbs that they took and they would dip into the salt water as a part of suffering. You're going to see the grapes. You're going to see a number of different things on the table, which is what they took place. What you're going to see surrounding, and this is the spot where I kind of prepared as though Jesus were going to sit around him, were the four cups that they were using in the Passover celebration. Four glasses of wine. Partway through the meal, he took the bread. We know what happened. He took the cup. We're going to do that later. And the focus so much on that night is what took place in the Lord's Supper, what happened, the broken bread, the blood, the new covenant, all of that focus is what you see with the physical eye. What we don't see with a physical eye is what was happening to Jesus during that period of time and what took place, and we're going to see it in a bit, what took place in his life only moments after. I want you to think this morning, and I want you to get this inside of you, this evening was about two cups. The one cup that Jesus changed the meaning, the cup of redemption, Jesus, God the Father delivering the Israelites from Egypt, the cup of redemption, which he changed and said, from now on, this is the new covenant of my blood, and he had them all drink it. We'll do that later. But there was a second cup that was taking place in the unseen realm. The disciples didn't see it. With a logical mind, they wouldn't see it. You're not going to see it on a screen. But this is what was happening in the spiritual realm. I got to tell you, and I've shared this with you before, I've often prayed, Father, when I pray, would you open up my spiritual eyes and allow me to see in the unseen what takes place when I pray? I believe if I could do that, my prayers would change. But today I'm asking the Holy Spirit to allow you to see in the unseen realm, and I want to give a physical picture for that to happen. At the same time that Jesus was taking the cup and changing its meaning and giving it to the disciples, Jesus made a statement, and you are very aware of this. We heard it a number of times, and I want to tell you the first one. Do you remember when James and John came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we want to sit at your right and left hand when you get into your kingdom? Do you remember that? Who put James and John up to that? Their mother. Can I just say, be careful of your mother? That's all I want to say this morning. Let's close in prayer, shall we? James and John's mother wanted the best for her boys, wanted them to be in positions of authority, especially after Simon's name was changed to Peter, and they go up and they say, Jesus, would you grant us request? The right and the left hand. Do you remember how Jesus responded? He looked at those boys, and I think he knew their hearts. He understood what was going on, the flesh, the temptation. He looked at them and said this. He said, James and John, are you guys able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Do you remember that? In Gethsemane, we're going to see a picture where Jesus is on the rock. And Jesus crying out to the Father. We know it happened three times. We're only going to see it once. It happened three times. And in that, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to the Father, Father, if there's any other way. Literally, he said, I don't want to drink this cup. This morning, I want to give you just a quick, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give revelation of what that cup was all about. In front of every one of the 12 seats, and I want to tell you this morning, this is not exhaustive, but in every one of the 12 seats where the disciples sat, I have put a jug that represents what went into the cup that Jesus had to drink. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later. This is the cup that Jesus pulled The cup of redemption that he pulled, he blessed it, gave it to his disciples. This is the one that set the whole tone of communion until Jesus comes back again. This is the cup. This morning, we're going to focus on a different cup, and that's this one here. I want to give you 12 things this morning, and every one of them, I just want you to appreciate how much work I've done with every one of these things. I put in 5 drops of red, 5 drops of green, and 5 drops of blue food coloring. Aren't you impressed? That's the combination to make them black. All I wanted was the picture of every one of these that is going to be poured into Jesus, into his cup that he was going to drink, that he was going to suffer. Every one of these represents the black, the filth, the darkness, the spiritual deadness of what was going on in the world, and Jesus was going to drink it. I want to give you 12 of them. We're not going to write it down this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, because every one of these are representative of something that was taken from your life and put into Jesus. The truth is, he took this from every person's life. 8 billion people alive today, 8 billion from creation until now, that's 16 billion people he took from every one of them into the cup that he was going to drink. How do you grasp that? The first one that he took in that cup was our transgression, which literally means those things that we have done wrong from the time that we were born until the time that we see the Father, everything that we have done wrong, our transgression, that literal choice of sin, is in his cup. And so what did Jesus do? He said, you take the cup, I'm going to pour it in my cup, and I'm going to drink it. And I'm going to pay the price for all your transgression, not just you, but for the sin of the entire world. Not just transgression. In fact, the Bible says he took our iniquity. What does iniquity mean? Can I tell you? You and I, before we ever made a choice to sin, you and I were born in sin. We've talked about this. There's not one of us born like an Ann Getty's angel with wings. We're perfectly holy and innocent, and we get corrupted in this world. No, David said, I was conceived in sin. I was born in sin. I remember what the Lord showed me one time. He said, Carl, the sin of Adolf Hitler was about this much. Adolf Hitler's sin was about this much. The original sin that he was born with was from the floor to the ceiling. The original sin is far harder to get rid of, and the consequence of that sin is far harder to get rid of than the choices we make to do wrong. Our sins might be very little. Our fallen nature was huge. What did Jesus say? He said, that's going to be in my cup. For those of you sitting close by, it's going to start watering on the floor right away. Yeah, just go get the mop. Would you do that? No, don't bother with the mop. I want you to think, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. I want you to understand the moment that Jesus surrendered himself to the will of the Father, Jesus said this, he said, Father, your will be done, which means this, I'm going to surrender myself and become powerless in this next period of time in order for you to accomplish your will, but for the enemy to have his way over my life. I want you to understand part of the cup Jesus drank, and here's the guy who raised the dead. Here's the guy who spoke to the fig tree. Here's the guy who did all of that stuff. Jesus made a choice, and he said, I'm going to choose to be powerless and let the enemy have his way. Power, love, and of a sound mind. When that spirit is removed, you end up walking powerless. Pilate goes, don't you realize I have power to kill you or to give you life? He goes, you have no power over you unless the Father gave it to you. But did he make a choice at the end of Jesus' life? You bet he did. He could have nuked every one of them. If it was me, I would have. Jesus had never known powerlessness in his life for men to do their will in his life and for the enemy to do his will in their life. He never knew powerless. That was a cup that he was going to drink. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, because a lot of us know people in our life that they walk pretty powerless and allow people to do things they should never do. But Jesus made a choice in order for men to do their worst and for the enemy to do his worst in his life. Spirit of power, love. I want to ask you a question. Was there ever a moment that Jesus in his life did not know and experience the love of the Father until he drank the cup, took on sin, and the Father's love was removed from him? I want you to get this for a second. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus in his cup had to experience hatred from the Father? Can I tell you how much Jesus felt the hatred from the Father? Can I just ask you really quickly? The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Father loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Can I give you even a bigger one? What happened when the flood happened and he saw the sin of the whole world and he saved Noah in the ark and the rest of them, the judgment of God came down upon the sin? Jesus goes, that is the cup that I'm going to drink, but to a far greater degree, for a moment, Jesus experienced not the love of the Father, but he experienced the wrath and the hatred of sin that the Father had. That was his cup. A spirit of love, power, love, and of a sound mind. Can I ask you a question? Was Jesus' mind pretty sharp the entire time he was walking on the earth? Pretty amazing. Can I ask you a question? If the Spirit of God is removed from you and the sound mind is removed from you, I don't want you to say it out loud. There are some of us in here who have battled mentally, majorly. Some of us who've had mental illness. Some of us who've lived in torment. Some who have been in depression. Some who had to open their eyes because if they didn't, they thought they were going to literally lose their mind. Some of us know what it is to not have a sound mind. I want you to understand part of the cup that Jesus took when the Spirit of God was removed from him and the enemy had his way. He was powerless. He experienced the wrath and the hatred of God on sin, the torment. And I want you to think about this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, do you know what Jesus said? He said, I am tormented to the point of death. I want you to understand, and you're going to see the picture. Can you imagine in that moment when the Spirit of God is removed from you, how the enemy comes, the fiery dart, the accusation, the spiritual demonic torment that was going on in the mind of Christ during that period of time? That was part of the cup. The sound mind of the Spirit. I want you to think. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us, and we know this, we have come to believe it, there are many in the body of Christ who still don't. By his wounds, we are what? Healed. That means that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took upon himself, and Isaiah talks about this, Jesus took upon himself every physical infirmity, past, present, and future, that is known to man. He took that infirmity upon himself. Every sickness, every disease, every physical infirmity was in the cup that Jesus drank and that he suffered on the cross of Calvary in order for you and I to have that removed from our life and for us to be healed. We could talk much more about that. That was in his cup. I want you to think there's not just physical infirmity. The reality is there is spiritual infirmity. There is spiritual attack. There is doubt. There is failure. There is compromise. We've all been there. On the cross of Calvary, in the cup that Jesus drank, he drank not just the physical infirmity, he drank and took the spiritual infirmity in order for those who experience that in their life, for them to be freed and healed of that. So that would be gone. I want you to think about this. How is it that we are healed? What does the Bible say? By his what? By his stripes, by his wounds. I want you to hear this very clearly, and we've talked about this before. I want to tell you, if the whips of a Roman soldier could have healed people of their infirmity, there would have been hundreds and thousands of people who paid the price for people's healing. Can I tell you, it was not their whips, it was not their beating, it was not what they did to Jesus, it was not their fists on his face, it was not the stripes of his the whips on his back that purchased our healing. The Bible says really clearly, it was the Father pouring out on Jesus. The Father beat him, the Father whipped him, the Father pierced him, the Father did that to him. Why? So we could be healed. I'll tell you what you know. There's a pile of people out there who don't believe that Jesus paid the price for our healing. But Jesus said this, I will drink the cup and experience the wounding, the bruising from my Father in order to purchase healing in the lives of my children. By his wounds, our physical and our spiritual infirmity was healed. I want to give you a few more. Jesus said this, I have come to give you life and life abundant. But the enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I want you to think for a moment that when Jesus surrendered himself to the cup of what the Father was going to do to him, in that moment, he also surrendered himself to what the enemy was going to do to him on the cross. All Jesus knew in his life was abundant life. That's all he knew. I want you to understand, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus experienced in the most profound way the spiritual stealing, killing, and destroying of the enemy. Let me ask you, when the enemy comes to steal, what does he steal? I'll never forget when Kenneth Copeland said, when he comes to steal, the first thing he does is steal the word. Because if he steals the word, he steals the power and the life in the word. But can I tell you, what the enemy does come is to steal the blessing from our life. Can I let you know really clearly? The moment Jesus surrendered to the cup that he had to drink, the blessing left him, and Jesus became what on the cross of Calvary? Became a curse. The blessing was gone. The favor was gone. The multiplication was gone. On the cross of Calvary, when Jesus took the cup, he experienced the stealing from the enemy in the most profound spiritual way. Killing? The cup that Jesus drank had the enemy stealing, killing. And let me tell you clearly, the design of the enemy is for every person that was ever created to not have life, but to have death. Can I tell you, I think for a lot of people, it is worse being alive without God than it is being dead. There is a living death that piles of people around us today are experiencing. Some of us have been there. Part of the cup that Jesus drank was the spiritual killing that comes into a person's life. The last one was the destroying. I would love to spend a pile of time on this. The ultimate destroying of relationship with a father. The ultimate destroying of one's life, their call, their purpose. The ultimate destroying their eternity separated from God. the greatest part of the cup that Jesus had to drink. And I want you to understand, when God was on the mountain, there was no sin that could come and touch the mountain because it was holy. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, they had to be removed from the Garden of Eden because the Garden of Eden was perfection and sin could not stay in the Garden of Eden. When the Ark of the Covenant was being transported and Uzziah put out his hand in order to steady it, he died on the spot. Why? Because when sin touches holiness, what happens to it? It dies. As Dean said a moment ago, and we read in 2 Corinthians, Jesus did not just take our sin, did not just take the curse, did not just take our sickness and infirmity, did not just take the powerless and all of the cup. The Bible says he actually became sin, and as a result of that, the Father turned his face, rejected, and Jesus experienced what you and I will never know in our life, that was spiritual death or separation from the Father. Christ did not descend into hell and be separated from the Father, defeated. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus experienced hell, separation from the Father, that was in his cup. He took it so you and I would never have to do it. I want you to think about this for a moment. We live in a world today, and some of us have been seduced into thinking, if I just do good things, I should qualify for heaven. Some of us go, you know, it doesn't matter what religion is out there. It doesn't matter what you believe. We're all going to end up in the same place. It's all the same God. It's all the same deal. Can I tell you something? When Jesus made a statement and said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, nobody comes to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Why did he say that? He goes, because I'm going to drink a cup that Joseph Smith did not drink, that Muhammad did not drink, that Confucius did not drink, that Ellen White did not drink. I am going to drink a cup that no other person out there could ever possibly drink in order for people to be freed of everything that is in that cup and have relationship with the Father restored. I'm going to tell you straight what we believe. And I want to tell you, church, we're living in a world where the enemy is seeking to seduce people into going, there is more than one way. I want to tell you this morning, there is one way. When people die in their sin and they spend eternity separated from the Father, the reality is they are drinking their own cup. And they pay the punishment for their sin, that separation for eternity. Can I tell you, there is not a human being has the power to do this because it wasn't just for their own sin. It was the sin of the world. If I was the enemy, I would do everything in my power to make sure you have no idea what was in the cup. No idea what Jesus paid for. Unless you realize what was in that cup and what he took for you, you and I will not be at a place where we go, he already paid it, I'm taking it, it's mine now, because he paid for it, it's mine. We're going to talk about that Sunday. The next time you watch the Passover meal, the next time you watch as they're there and Jesus is taking the cup and he's taking the matzah and he's breaking it, giving it to them, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind and to go, Father, would you show me, as he was presenting the cup to the believers, would you show me the cup that was being ready to be poured out on him, the cup that he was going to drink in order for you and I to be free? While he was giving the cup that was going to save our life, he was drinking the cup to pay the price. I pray over this weekend, the revelation of the cup and what was in it for you would become more real than it has ever have in your life before. Father, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with a peace. I love that scripture in Isaiah that says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him.